Let's pray together. Speak, Lord. Speak, because your servants, we are listening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning we have been reminded in the most vivid ways of our blessed hope, of our eternal hope because of Christ Jesus our Lord. And we have also been reminded that life is a gift, a precious and a fragile gift. We've been challenged to look at our own lives and receive our days as a gift from God and to live them fully for His glory and for the good of others. One of the ways that we can ensure that we do that is by living thoughtfully, purposefully. If we've been together here at Paisano, we've been asking the question, why? Why am I here? Why am I here right now on this earth? The biblical answers I've offered to that question, that we're here because of God. We've been created by Christ for Christ, that Christ may have first place in all our days. We're here to be part of the church, the family of God, the temple, the resting place of the Spirit of God, God's kingdom. We're here to be part of a church that exists for the good of the world. Last night we talked about being a church for the good of the world means that we're people of good works, that we do the deeds of Jesus. And today I'll call our attention to the fact that to serve the world, we must also speak the words of Jesus. If you're part of the kind of church that serves the community, that washes the feet of your neighbors and the nations, you may come to the place where you say to one another, we are just to live our lives in such a way that people will see us and they'll come to know our God. You may even quote St. Francis of Assisi, and you'll say to one another very, very confidently, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, what? Use words. There's a real problem with that. Francis never said it. Franciscan scholars cannot find where St. Francis ever said that. St. Francis preached to the birds and the wolves. Of course he talked to people about Jesus. We taught our kids to use their words. They were more comfortable going, ooh. And so we would say, use your words. In our last time together, I just want you to hear from the heart of the Father, use your words. Use your words. We've got to be ready to use our words to share with others the reason for the hope that we have within us. Our focal text today is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me there. We're looking, these few verses, we're looking for encouragement, for ideas, for hopes, for principles to help us to be ready to use our words to point, as John the Baptist did, to Jesus. Words that would say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better if you for the will of God suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the Spirit. Peter is writing to a group of Christians, sojourners in this world, strangers in Babylon, people who were living out their faith in sort of hostile territory, and he was calling them to live a certain life, and he was calling them to speak certain words that would point other people to Jesus the Christ. And these words we just read, he was preparing them for that type of conversation with people in the real world. And he gave us some clues and some hints about how we can go about that. And I just want to leave them with you this morning. We are ready and we can be ready to share Christ with others when we sanctify God in our hearts. When we sanctify the Lord in our hearts. Now, when we talk about sanctification, we typically think of that as God's action. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We are set apart by God for some from unique life with Him for some unique deed. But here is Peter calling on the people of God to sanctify God in their hearts, to make sure that God has a place of honor, that God has a comfortable spot, that God has the best place. And from that best place in the depths of their hearts, that God begins to permeate the whole of their life. It's only when God has this unique place in our life, only then, will we be winsome in our witness? Will we do it with meekness and fear and integrity and compassion in life? This is where it all starts. Just about every summer, I reread Ray Bradbury's Dandelion Wine because it's about a little boy in the summertime and the magic of summer, and I still love summer better than anything. And there's a scene where young Douglas Spaulding, the hero of the story, is caught in a shoe store. And the crusty old shoe store man comes up to him, and they have an encounter that has never left my mind. Let me read part of it to you. "Don't say a word," said Mr. Sanderson. Douglas froze. "First, I know just what you want to buy," said Mr. Sanderson. "Second, I see you every afternoon at my window. You think I don't see. You're wrong. Third, to give it its full name, you want the Royal Crown Cream Sponge Perlite Tennis Shoes, like menthol on your feet. Fourth, you want credit." "No," cried Douglas, breathing hard as if he'd run all night in his dreams. "I got something better than credit to offer," he gasped. "Before I tell you, Mr. Sanderson, you got to do me just one small favor. Can you remember when was the last time you yourself wore a pair of Lightfoot sneakers, sir?" Mr. Sanderson's face darkened. "Oh, 10, 20, 30 years ago, why?" "Mr. Sanderson, don't you think you owe it to your customer, sir, to at least try the tennis shoes you sell for just 1 minute? So you know how they feel. People forget if they don't keep testing things. United Cigar Store man smokes cigars, don't he? Candy Store man samples his own stuff. I should think so." "You may have noticed," said the old man, "I'm wearing shoes, but not sneakers, sir. How are you going to sell sneakers unless you can rave about them? And how are you going to rave about them unless you know them?" There's a bunch of smart people in this room, Levi Price. I think they get it. How are you going to rave about him, friends, unless you know him? And how are you going to know him if he doesn't have the most comfortable place in your heart? You are ready to use your words for Christ when you have sanctified him in your heart. Number two, we are ready when we know the reason for the hope that is within us. By grace, you have been saved through faith. It's not your works, lest any man should boast. Peter wrote of the Christ who suffered once the just for the unjust to bring us to God. The gospel is Jesus did for us, not we do. So often I'm at the deathbed of a senior saint, someone who's been part of the church for many, many, many years. And so many times, those precious people look at me with eyes filled with what I've become to call deathbed confusion. And they will say to me, "I sure hope I've done enough to go to heaven." You are ready to share the reason for the hope that you have within you when you are settled on what that hope is. And our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus. Jesus. Settle that here and be ready to use your words. The last thing, we are ready to share Christ with others when we have a good conscience. Peter spoke of a good conscience. Now, this is not some type of swaggering attitude of self-righteousness. I've known that person, haven't you? That is not evidence of a good conscience. If anything, that's evidence of a seared conscience. You know, Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son. Those kind of people. Fred! A good conscience is someone who has a conversational relationship with God. R.T. Kendall talked about true spirituality as shortening the distance between sin and repentance. It's someone who keeps close to God, who lives a life that's humble before God, that confesses, a life that's alive and winsome before God, that knows the rhythms of the Spirit in their life. Scripture says of people like that, the righteous, the ones with healthy, clean consciences, in Proverbs chapter 28:1, that they are as bold as a lion. So often we say, I'm just too scared to share my faith with others. Well, a man or woman of a clean conscience has boldness and courage because they know at the end of the day, it's not up to them anyway. It's up to that God who is sanctified in the depths of their souls. Bold as lions. Earlier this summer, we had the great privilege to go to North Alabama and preach in Muscle Shoals for a friend of mine, his church up there. In North Alabama, Muscle Shoals area, you might have seen the PBS documentary on the music that came out of Muscle Shoals. Fantastic. You should see it. Funky town, great town, but it's part of sort of a quad cities area. One of the cities that's connected to Muscle Shoals is Florence, Alabama. Florence, Alabama is the home of the University of Northern Alabama. Football team's great, was once coached by Bowden. You know, it's a great, great program up there. They are the Lions, the UNA Lions. If you go to the center of the campus, University of North Alabama, they have a habitat for lions, much like the bears in Waco. On boring afternoons, sick on bears, Mary takes the kids out and they look at the bears. You know, that's what we do in Waco. We thought we were the coolest people in the world because we had live bears on our campus. Get this, little small schools all over the country have live animals, let me tell you. Should humble us. And they have lions at the University of North Alabama. One afternoon, Meredith and I, we went to see the lions, UNA, Leo the Lion. Walked up there, and sure enough, there was a bona fide lion over there. Mane roaring strong. There was a little sign, and the sign said, no domestic animals beyond this point. And I thought to myself, there's a good reason for that. Can you imagine that first little family that took the little poodle dog up there or that chihuahua up there? You know, we have our little sort of half-breed chihuahua, Yorkie terrier mixed dog with us. And I asked her, I said, Lilybell, do you feel like you've come to your ancestral homeland here in the Chihuahua Desert? And she just looked at me and smiled. But can you imagine the first family that took their little chihuahua dog up to see the lion without that sign? And that lion thought that dog was a pizza roll, you know, and the chaos that must ensue. You know, just to look at a lion is to see strength, settled strength. I don't think lions get nervous very much because they're lions. They're lions. So often in Scripture, God is pictured as a lion. The righteous are as bold as lions. How do we find that strength? Well, it's not by trying to relive that montage scene in Rocky. It's not trying to lather it up. It's by sanctifying the Lord in our hearts, keeping a close relationship with Him. Friends, we come to events like this to renew that type of strength. My prayer as you leave this place is that you will know that type of settled strength, and that God will use you mightily to be that strange pointing hand, pointing to Christ, saying, behold. there's life. Live it. God, we thank you for a chance to be in this place. It's such a special place. We thank you for a chance to be your people. As we leave here, we pray that you would give us strength, that you would give us joy, that you would give us a renewed sense of purpose and clarity of vision. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. We all say together, amen.